God is a relational being, and we are made in His image.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
You and I were made for relationship. And so we all talk about relationships. Oftentimes, relationships can be the source of some of the greatest joys in our lives, but it can also be the source of some of the greatest pain in our life as well, can it? But you and I were made for relationship. We're social beings created, made to know others, to be in relationship. So I said, when we say relationship, what do we mean? Well, a relationship, you could define it as the state of being connected to another person. That there's a personal connection to be in relationship. Now, you and I can know things about someone, information, facts, but that doesn't mean that we have a relationship with them, does it? There's a level of intimacy and connection and relationship that just knowledge about that person does not equate for relationship. So we were made to be in relationship. We were made to be connected to people. Sometimes it can be good and healthy connections that we have. Unfortunately, though, sometimes it can be a not so good or a not so healthy connection with another person. So you and I were made to be in connection and relationship with one another. But I would suggest, ultimately, though, first and foremost, you and I were made to be in connection or relationship with God. God is a relational being, and we are made in His image. Now, when relationships in our lives are not right, we suffer. But when relationships are right, we thrive. So we might ask then, okay, we are relational beings, we know that. And if we're made to be in relationship with one another, and I say we're made first and foremost to be in relationship with God, we might ask then this question, well, can I know God? Can I know God personally? Well, I want you to know the short answer to that question is yes. Your husband says, well, there you go. There's your answer, folks. Can I know God personally? Yes. Okay, we're done. Let's all go home now, right? No, there's a little more to it than that. The short answer is yes, you can know God personally. Because you were made to know God personally. But the longer answer, I would say, is yes, you can know God personally. And the way that you can is by responding in faith to Him and in how He has revealed Himself to us. You know, earlier we were looking at this idea, this doctrine of the necessity of Scripture, which means that if we are to truly know God, we need to know Him how He has revealed Himself in the Scripture, in the Word of God. And so, yes, you can know God personally. And the way you can is by responding in faith to what He has said, how He has revealed Himself in the Scriptures, in the Word. Now, in order for us to truly know another person, they have to reveal themselves, don't they? Think about it. Think about the relationships that you have in your life. You can gather all kinds of information about a person by watching them, or maybe you read some things. There's all kinds of ways that we can come to know about a person. But in order for you to truly know that person, to be in right relationship with them, that connection there, that person has to open up to you and reveal themselves to you in some way, right? And so when we grow in relationship, how do we grow? We grow in a relationship as mutually we open ourselves up more and more to one another. So in order to truly know another person, they have to reveal themselves to you. And you must reveal yourself to an order, to another, in order for them to truly know you. Information is not relationship. It's opening up and connecting and revealing that brings personal connection, intimacy, relationship. So if we are to know God personally, He must reveal Himself. He must reveal Himself to us. Now, it's true that when we look at the creation, the things that God has made, we can understand some general truths about God, such as His existence, His great power, His incredible intelligence and wisdom. We call that general revelation, how God has generally revealed Himself. But just looking at the creation isn't going to bring about that knowing God personally, is it? We can know things about God or deduce things about God from general revelation, looking at things, what God has made. But in order for us to truly know Him personally, in order to be in a right relationship with Him, He has revealed Himself in a special way. And that special way is first through the Scriptures, through His Word. But then ultimately, supremely, He has revealed Himself how? Through His Son, Jesus. So if we really want to know God, if we want to know Him personally, we have to know what this says about that, and we have to then know the supreme revelation of Himself, which is Jesus. We have to know, we get to know God through knowing how He has revealed Himself in His Word and in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's special revelation. So I want us to look at the Gospel of John, chapter 1, today. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 13, where there we see how God has revealed Himself to us supremely through His Son, Jesus Christ, and how we then can know God, how we can know God personally. John tells us that in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God, and God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. And God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. And the one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world He created. But the world didn't recognize Him. He came to His own people, and even they rejected Him. But to all who believed Him and accepted Him, He gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So what does this teach us about having a relationship with God, a right relationship with God? Can I know God personally? And the answer is yes, because He has taken the step into our world for you to know Him. Thank you. And to be in right relationship with Him by coming into the world, humbling Himself in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So this tells us then, as we go through our text, that Jesus already existed in the beginning. And by the way, why are you saying Jesus? It was talking about the Word. It says the Word was, the Word was with God, the Word was God, and this Word, he gave light and life. Well, if you go on and read the rest of it, you see that this Word, who is the Word? The Word is Jesus, right? The Word is Jesus. And it says, the Word, Jesus, already existed. In the beginning was the Word. He already existed. Now, you might think, the Word, that's kind of a strange word to refer to Jesus. Why doesn't it just say, in the beginning, Jesus existed, or the Son of God existed? Why does he say the Word? Well, we could spend quite a bit of time, you know, on that question, but let me just say briefly this. John chose that word, or inspired by the Spirit, he used that word, for a very good reason. Because it connected powerfully with both the Jewish audience that he was writing to, as well as the Gentile or the Greek audience that he was writing to, because that word, logos, meant something to them. And he says, Jesus is the Word. You see, to the Jewish mind, the Word, when they would hear that word, they would think the Word of God, it meant what? God's revelation of himself in the Word, in the Scriptures, how he is spoken. And so when the Jews would think of the Word of God, they would think of the Scriptures. And in effect, he's saying to them what? The Scriptures, the revelation of God to himself, has taken on human flesh. The Word has come alive in human flesh to us. Not just words on a scroll or on a page here, but flesh and blood, human being, communicating with us, revealing himself. The Word became flesh, took on human form. Now, on the other hand, to the Gentile, the Greek mind, there was then the language of the philosophers of the day, that word, logos, it was this idea, it was a concept of that, it was how they understood how the universe came to be and was organized and how it held. It was this principle, this concept of the logos, that from which the universe sprang and arranged and is held together. They call that the logos. Well, from whom did the universe spring? And how was it held together? God. Jesus. He is the logos there as well, isn't he? So Jesus is the Word in that he is the very expression of God. He's the Scripture incarnated. So if I want to reveal myself to you, one of the best ways I can do that is how? Through the Word, through speaking, right? Reveal myself in that way. It's not the only way we communicate to one another, is it? But that's one of the primary ways we do, through the spoken word. And so God has revealed himself through the spoken word, through the written word, and now through the incarnate word, the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ. So in the beginning, the Word was. He already existed. The Word, Jesus did not have a beginning. You see, everything that is made has a beginning, doesn't it? There was a time when it wasn't, but then it was brought into existence by being made or created. Jesus, the Word of God, the Son of God, did not have a beginning. He was not made. He always was. So in the beginning, what? When everything was that has been made was made, the Word was. He already was. So all created things have a beginning, but God, who is the Creator, does not have a beginning. He always was, he is, and he always will be. In fact, in Scripture, he reveals himself with a personal name, Yahweh, which means what? I am. Simply, I am. I am the eternally existent one, the one who always was, the one who is, the one who always will be. In fact, he's outside of time itself. He has no beginning. He has no beginning, middle, or end. He simply is. I am. And Jesus revealed himself as I am, Yahweh. So Jesus already existed. We're told us then that he was with God and was God. You think, well, wait a minute, this is a little doublespeak here. Wait a minute, how can you be with God and be God at the same time? Now, if that was the only verse we had in Scripture, if that is all God has ever said about the matter, we'd probably be extremely confused, wouldn't we? What do you mean? He was with God and he was God. How can you both be with someone and be someone? Well, we know from the rest of Scripture here that this is what? That this is the doctrine of the Trinity. The Spirit is not mentioned in this passage right here, but we know that what? That there's how many gods are there? There's one God. But within the one God, there are what? Three persons, co-equal, co-eternal persons. Each one truly God, but not three gods, only one God. How does that work? I don't pretend to fully understand that or get that. But there is, within the Godhead, three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Now, what's the significance of that right now for you and me? Can I know God personally? Well, it goes back again to this question about why were we made? We were made for relationship. And one of the reasons why we were made for relationship is because God, in his essence, is relational, isn't he? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, an eternal relationship. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, an eternal relationship. Not three gods, one God, three persons. I don't completely understand it either, folks. But it's what the Scripture teaches. So God is a relational being by his nature. And as we are created in his image, again, we are not gods or little gods, but he has made us to reflect him or be like him in certain aspects. One aspect of that is that we're relational beings. So do you think a relational God who created you relational wants you to be in relationship with him, to know him? The answer is yes, he does. So Jesus already existed in the beginning. He was with God and he was God. That is, as the Son of God, he was with God the Father, with the Spirit. But as the Son of God, he is God. And that is how you can be with God and be and was God. Then goes on to tell us here that Jesus created everything that has been made. You know, it's something, we just not too long ago celebrated Christmas again. And Christmas tells the story of little baby Jesus, right? The little baby in the manger. But isn't incredible, again, just to reflect upon, who is that little baby in the manger? That little baby in the manger is God, is the Son of God who took on human flesh, was made one of us, was born to a young couple in Palestine some 2,000 years ago. He came into this world. And yet, this little baby is the sovereign Lord of the universe who made all things. Incredible to think about, isn't it? But you see, that little baby Jesus didn't stay a baby, did he? He grew up, he came into this world to be our Savior, to restore us to a right relationship with God. Because something had gone wrong in our relationship with God, hadn't it? And that something in one word is sin, right? That's our moral rebellion against God. And all of us have sinned, haven't we? So we're all in a wrong relationship with God under God's judgment. So God came into this world to set things right. And he did that by taking on human flesh, living out a life of perfect obedience to the law of God. You see, because God is holy, he's without sin. And then for us to be in right relationship with him, we too must then be holy. But we're not holy, so what's God going to do? So how can we be in right relationship? Well, God did something about that to fix the problem by sending a Savior, a Redeemer, one who would fulfill God's requirements to perfectly obey the law, to be perfectly holy, but then also then take on the judgment, the punishment for our sin, how we've fallen from that. He conquered that by his death on the cross and then by rising from the dead. So Scripture then says that we can know God, be in right relationship with him through faith in the Savior, Jesus. So he created everything that has been made. And then he gave life and light. You know, he created physical life and physical light, but that isn't what he's talking about here. There's also what he gives, spiritual life and spiritual light as well. So Jesus gave life and light, spiritual life, knowledge of God, knowing God, being in right relationship with him, forgiveness of sin, eternal life, and he gives light. Because we're walking in moral darkness, he gives light through his word. What is good, what is true, what is right. He gives light and life. And the scripture tells us that this light, this life that he gives, that it can never be extinguished by the darkness. Isn't that good news? Do we live in a dark world? Sure. Now, it's not going to stay dark forever, is it? But it's dark right now. Because of sin, our moral rebellion. But Jesus is the light who shines in the darkness of our world, and the darkness of the world can never extinguish or cover over or defeat the light of Jesus Christ, can it? Jesus has won over the darkness. He has triumphed over the darkness. And right now, he is working out his plan for the restoration of all things. God is going to restore all things through Christ. You know, it's been said that the grand overarching story of the scriptures, it's a story in four acts. The first one is creation, that God made all things. The second act is a fall, the fall into sin by human beings rebelling against God. The third act is God sending a Redeemer, a Savior, right? In Jesus Christ. Through his life, death, and resurrection, he is triumphed over sin and death. And then the fourth part is what? The restoration or the renewal of all things in Christ, through Christ. And so right now, we're in that part. We're in the in-between. We're in after the third part of redemption in Christ and before the ultimate renewal or restoration of all things. That's where we are right now. And so the world and the darkness will never extinguish the light of Jesus. Jesus was proclaimed by John the Baptist. John was not the light. He was a witness to the light. He came in order to tell people about the light. And so now you and me, we're not John the Baptist, are we? But we've been given the mission to proclaim the light, haven't we? We are not the light, are we? I think that's pretty clear. But just I want to go on record officially here. I am not the light. You are not the light. None of us are the light. But we are called to proclaim or to speak of the light. The light is Jesus. John tells us that Jesus came into the world that he created, but he was not recognized. Here he is, the one who made it all, has come into his very creation as a man, God and man. But most people did not recognize him as God, as the Creator. And most people today still don't, do they? So he came into the world he created, but he was not recognized. He even tells us that he came to his own people, but he was rejected by them. Now, his own people, when God came into the world as a human being, he was born as a member of a particular nation and race of people, that being the Jews. He was Jewish, wasn't he? Now, he came for all. He came to redeem all men and women. But he came first to his own people, the Jews. And some of them believed him and received him, but most of them did not. He was rejected by them. So the very world that he had created rejected him. His very own people rejected him. Rejection, rejection. But to those who do not reject him, but instead receive him, accept him, believe him, what did he do? He gave the right to become children of God to all who believe. See, and this is how you and I can know God personally, through Jesus, through the Son of God. He has revealed himself, and we come to know him through Jesus, through his word. We come to be in right relationship with God. So to those who accepted him, believed in him, he gave the right to become children of God. Now, there's personal relationship, isn't it? To be a child of God is to have a personal relationship with God. You know, everyone in this room is someone's child, right? Everyone in this room is here because at some point, maybe it was a few years ago, or maybe it was more than a few years ago, you were born, right? You became someone's child by being physically born. That's how you became a child, through natural birth. Then the scripture says, well, you can become a child of God too. But just like you were born physically to be a physical child, in order to become a child of God, you must be born spiritually. And you become a spiritual child of God, right? So you have to be born twice, right? In fact, there's a passage in Scripture that has a little something to say about that, that we must be born again, right? Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And here the teacher of Israel, Nicodemus, didn't understand it, didn't get it. And Jesus said, really? You don't understand? You don't get it? So he gave the right to become children of God to all who believe, and those who believe are given a new birth. So to become a spiritual child of God, you must go through a supernatural spiritual birth. A natural birth gives you physical life. A supernatural birth gives you spiritual life. And how are we born spiritually? Through faith, believing in him. We're born spiritually, given new life. So can you know God personally? Can I know God personally? I'd answer it by saying this. Jesus came into this world in order to give his life for us, so that through faith in him, we might have forgiveness of our sin and the gift of eternal life, namely personal knowledge of him and his love forever. So for you and me to know God, we must first deal with the issue of the sin that separates or blocks us from knowing God personally and intimately. And that's not something that I or any of us could do for ourselves. No matter how hard we try to be good, we're never going to be good enough to be in right relationship with God, are we? There is no amount of good works that could put us into a right relationship with God. Only the removal and the utter judgment and removal of sin could put us right with God. And that's something I couldn't do for myself, or none of us could do. So God did it for us. And that's the gospel, the good news. Now, of course, the good news, in order to understand that good news, that we can be in right relationship with God, we first have to understand the bad news, right? And the bad news is that our sin has brought us under God's judgment, and rightly so. As much as we may want to fight against that or deny that, we all know that wrong must be judged. Do you really want to live in a world where wrong is never judged, allowed to just go on? No, we don't. Now, I know in this world there is no perfect justice, is there? But again, I will tell you, God is going to have the final word, and there is ultimate justice that's coming. But right now, under our human system, there is not perfect justice. But we know there must be justice. Do you really want God to be just with you? Do I really want Him to be just with me? No. But He must be. But yet He loves, so what must He do? Well, He sent a Savior to take the justice, the judgment for you and me, so we wouldn't have to. And that's the good news. See, the bad news is we're under God's judgment, and rightly so. The good news is, through Jesus, is the forgiveness for that punishment, or forgiveness for that sin, and who took the judgment for us so that we wouldn't have to. And not only is that's good news there, but also then on top of that, then He gave then you and me holiness and life, eternal life forever. And how is that all received? Is it by trying real hard to be a good person, going to church every Sunday, doing good works, or being a nice person? No, it's through believing in Him, being spiritually reborn as a child of God, as a gift of God, through faith in Him. That's how you can know God personally. And when we know Him, then, in that way, when you believe in Jesus, it's the beginning of a not only a lifelong relationship, it's the beginning of a forever relationship with God. To truly know God and know His love forever. So what? Well, I conclude by just asking a few questions. So one is, do you know God? Do you know God personally through faith in Jesus Christ? If you don't, maybe you want to know Him. Do you want to know Him? Well, I want you to know that if you do want to know Him, He is calling out to you right now that what? All who believe in Him will be saved. Now, the Scripture tells us that, you know, in and of ourselves, we're not going to seek God. We need Him to draw us to Himself. And maybe you're feeling, maybe there's someone here who's feeling that drawing. You hear God speaking to you now. You feel the draw of Him upon you right now. If you do, I would say, respond in faith to Him. Say yes. Yes, I believe, Lord. I believe. I admit that I am a sinner, that I've done wrong. I admit that I'm under judgment, and rightly so. But I believe You came for me, Jesus, to take the punishment for me by dying on the cross, and through rising from the grave, that I too can triumph over sin and rise from the grave and triumph over death with You. If you want to know Him, say yes to Him in faith today. And I want you to know if you have, and if you do that in your heart, that is the beginning. It's not the beginning of a rosy life in which you will never have any problems or difficulties, is it? In fact, Scripture says, if we're truly going to believe in Him, we need to repent, to turn away from our sin, and then to trust in Him. And then know you are now in for the greatest adventure of life, which means is going to mean some wonderful highs, isn't it? But it's also going to mean some big challenges and lows too. In fact, Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, you need to count the cost first. So I want you to know that too. Sometimes this is very good news, but sometimes it's put out there as if, like, you know, believe in Jesus and then you have eternal life and life is just great. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches, is it? Believe in Jesus and you do have eternal life, and that is great. That is a great thing. But following Him, there's a cost. It's not easy to always follow Him, but that's what He calls us to. And it sure beats the alternative, doesn't it? I know that a lot of you here, you do believe in Him. And you do know Him. You know Him already. And so to you, I would ask, do you want to know Him better? Do you want to know God personally better than you already do? Amen. I hope you do. So do you want to know God better? To that, I'm going to simply say this. Stay tuned. Come back next week. Because today is the conclusion of this series of Explore God. Explore God. I thought it would be good to follow it up with a series we're going to call Know God. What does it mean, really, to know God? And how can you know God better than you do right now? And what is God like that we should know Him and know Him better? So that's where we're going to go from here. So if you want to know Him better, come back next week. That's your little tease. You know how I could do with television, like a series episode. Next week on, right? Well, next week here at Wonder Lake Bible Church, what does it mean to know God? How you can know Him better. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, that we can know You, that we can know You personally through faith in the Savior, Jesus. God, I do pray if there's someone here that is hearing Your call, that You're touching someone's heart and mind, I pray for that person, Lord, that they would respond now in faith, believe You, accept You, turn away from sin and turn to You, Lord Jesus, accepting the cost, knowing that in You is true life, eternal life. Thank You then, Lord, for those of us who do know You personally, but will be the first to admit we have a long way to go in our knowledge of You. Lord, in the upcoming weeks, would You teach us better and better what it means to know You and to grow in our knowledge and love of You and for You. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.